Right, today we're talking about fear. Race drivers, hello, this is Enzo, directly from Russia, coming to you now, back in the office. I've got 3 days here before Hockenheim, Sachsenring. We're all over the place. Fear. This has to be one of the biggest topics, for the simple reason that anybody who coaches, anybody who writes books, anybody who is a self-development, even anything that's helping life coaches, that's helping people get what they want out of life, and you're teaching them the techniques of how to get this, to get it out of themselves, to perform as they want. You will know, if you're a coach or if you've worked in any single area that's like that, consultants are the same. You can tell a person the best techniques, the best hacks, the best secrets. You can show them how certain people did it step by step. And as a culture now, we're pretty addicted to that. We want to know all the information of how Elon Musk got from where he was to where he is now, how Bill Gates did it, how Zucks did it. We're just fascinated. We watch these documentaries, we read their books, we get so intellectual and intelligent about everything they did and their qualities, because just for the simple fact that we want to copy, because we want to do the same, or we want to achieve something in our career that kind of echoes what they do. So you're reading autobiographies, you're filling your head full of information of how to do it. Yet, walking that path is a completely different story. It's like, I know how to do it, but I'm still no further ahead. I'm an absolute genius on the theory of success, but I'm still not making it happen. I've studied it for years. I know exactly what to do. I've learned all the mental sciences. I've spent time and money on all these audio programs and these workshops and these ebooks. I'm still no closer. This seems to be a common theme. Everyone is now an expert, but not really in practice, in theory. So they kind of become a culture where everybody seems to know everything, but nobody's fulfilled. And we're seeing this a lot, a heck of a lot, even more now with obviously the internet, with all this access of information. And I want to just hit upon one of the things, one of the reasons why this is, and that is because of fear. So just as an example, Get the Drive, it's somewhere in the back probably, the book I brought out, it's like, guys, this is literally how people are getting sponsorship right now. Here it is. Look, this is what you have to do. This is what companies need. The 8 ways in order to get a drive, not just sponsorship. Sponsorship's just one of those 8. There's another 7 things you can do to get in a race car. And I poured my life and soul into that book, which is brilliant. So you know how to do it. But still, I get questions asking, how do I make a proposal? How do I approach a company, even though it's in the book? And they're not really saying how, because they know the how. It's how do I get myself to do it? That's the real problem here. And then if you just peel back another level of how do I get to do it myself to do it and act the way I should act in order to get the sponsorship, to get on the grid, you get down to the real reason. That's pretty much step number one of what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to give you 5 steps. The first one is face the real reason. And that means the reason that you're, what are you scared of? What's the real reason you're not taking the action? And talking about scared, it normally comes down to a fear of being rejected, of you calling up somebody and sounding like a goof because what you're offering you don't really believe in. So this is talking about sponsorship now. I mean, we could be talking about somebody trying to sell any kind of business proposal. We could be talking about a driver that's trying to sell themselves to a team or anything. You're just trying to get somebody to give you an opportunity and anything that will get you further in your career. And a lot of the time, you don't pick up the phone, you don't go and talk to that person you can actually physically see and grab. You can touch them, but you don't approach them because of your fear of what they might think of you, or you might stumble, or you can't quite get it out. It's the same with you asking somebody out for a date or anything else. Or even talking to the waitress about, you know, you're happy with the food, or the waiter, the food's not what I want, and you're worried about how it's going to be perceived. We see it everywhere. And it's that fear, that approach fear, that it pretty much stops people from starting in the first place. So you could do a nice little proposal. You could create a website that, you know, people can see what you're all about. If it's sponsorship, that's fine. You've got a sponsorship page there. This is what we can offer sponsors. Or if it's you're just a race driver or anyone else, you've got all these things in place, because this is the kind of thing you can do at home without having any kind of rejection, right? You got a nice business card. Everything's there, a logo, a name. But then when it comes to creating the product, some people stumble upon that. If you get that far, they then stumble upon taking that product into the market and selling it. This is what is really bad. This is what's stopping you from succeeding, really. Because you've heard me say it before. What's the one person now? I just ruined it. What's the one thing, the one element that is stopping you from getting what you want out of life? What's stopping you going down to the closest airport and jumping in a nice 747 and taking off and going to wherever you want? You know that it's people. People saying no is the reason you're not getting what you want. Or you even envisaging they're going to say no even stops you from asking them in the first place. So if you can get really good at influencing and asking and proposing things to people to get them to say yes, you're going to get more things that you want in life. That's pretty much all it's all about, getting people to say yes. And when they say yes, it opens up an opportunity, or when they say yes, it helps you advance, right? So we bring back to step number one, which is, what's the real reason why you're not asking people? And it comes down to fear. You fear rejection. And that has to be one of the most important things to face and overcome. As Will Smith said,
fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity, Katar. Now, do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice.
And that is so true. We project what might happen. We live in this worst case scenario world, environment, reality, and it doesn't always work out that way, but we play it out in our mind. And then, you know, you're going to pick up the phone, you're going to contact somebody to sell them on something, but then all of a sudden you project what they might think, what they might say. It might not be the right time of day for them. They might be busy, they might think I'm a jerk, and you play out a scene, and then that stops you from even picking up the phone. How crazy is that? Honestly. And we'll move on to step two and how this will play out. But just for now, understand that really it's normally a fear of something. Because if you were playing a computer game right now, and that character in the middle of the screen, Grand Theft Auto or whatever, in the middle of the screen has got a mission, you don't even think of consequence. Because you can press reset. You can start the mission over. You give it a go, you try your best, and then if it doesn't work, you do something differently. You adjust. If that doesn't work, you go again. You say reset, and you try the mission again. You just keep going. That's the formula for success right there. But the problem is, when you go into that character, into the world that you live right now, this matrix that you're in right now, you see it from a different way. You see it like, I've only got one life. In terms of, if I take a hit, it's over. If I take a rejection, it's over. But that's not true. You are just like the character in GTA or any other game where you can just carry on, carry on, carry on. But so we'll talk about that later. But really, what is it you're scared of? You've got to face the real reason here, which is fear. But what is it you are fearful of? And I want you to confront it, to see it all there in its glory. If I call this person, if I speak to that person, what am I scared of? And write it down, or just note it. And note how many times you do that in life, just in general. I could go and speak to this person, but I'm afraid of this. I could go and put myself on the line over there, make that presentation, but I'm fearful of whatever. And you'll see the same thing coming up over and over and over again. And you'll start to, over the next few months, that's all I want you to do, right? Just spot what is your performance blocker in terms of from where you are to taking the action you need to take. What is it that's stopping you? And start to note it down mentally or physically or even in your phone. Just take out notes and write it down. I've done it again. It's the 2nd of September or whenever it is. I've done it again and I am thinking X, whatever it is that you're fearful of. Start to live with it there and you'll see how many times it comes up. And I bet you it comes up every single day. I'm not going to put my hand up in class. I'm not going to go and talk to my boss. I'm not going to talk to the team manager because I'm afraid of whatever that thing is that you've got. And once you start to unearth it and face it and become really friendly with this and say, oh, so you're here again. I spend more time with you, this fear, than anybody else in my life. I see you every day and you're the one that's there. It's in my mind stopping me from taking the actions I need to. So you get to learn this thing that you have that you're carrying around with you. You've got to be really open and very honest to what the real reason is for you to not to take action. You know it's fear of something, but then you've got to really note down what that fear is. What is it you're scared of? Get clear on this, and that's step one. Step two, play it out. Now, if you've been through my material, you know I always say, play it out, see how it goes. And that's what I want to do now, because at the end of the day, fear breeds within a mind that lacks motivation. If you don't have motive, I mean, what is motive? Let's have a look on Google right now. What's motive? A reason for doing something. Simple as that, right? Motivation is the bigger the reason you've got to do something, the more emotion you've got towards it. So if you've got a huge reason for why you must, absolutely must be on that grid, or you must be in a certain part of your career this time next year, and you make it big, bold, bright in your mind, and this is what I absolutely have to, and you've got 10 bloody reasons why you got to do it, that's motivation. You've got a motive. I need to do it because I need to give my future family the life they want. I need to do it to escape this crappy situation I'm in at the moment. I need to do it to prove my family wrong, because I am going to succeed. That's motive. When you've got motive, fear quietens down a little bit, because the motivation, the motive is so loud in your head. It's like, what have I got to do next? What have I got to do next? So if you've got fear, then normally you're lacking the motive, the reason for what you're doing this for. It's too quiet. Turn it up. So one way of doing it is to play it out. Right. If you keep on doing what you're doing and allowing fear to stop you taking the actions you need to do in order to get what you want in this life, what's your life going to look like in 1 year's time? If you carry on doing that, treading water in life, in your career. Worst case scenario, what would it look like in 1 year? Picture it. Close your eyes and just picture, if I carry on doing this, not taking the actions, going to pick up the phone and stopping myself, how much further I'm going to be. Paint a picture of that future you in 1 year's time. If you bought the warrior's mind, you know I love this part. This is part of the self-transformation. What would it look like? How will I feel about it? Live it. You can pause this and just go deep into how life will be in 1 year and how you'll feel about yourself. Telling people that you still know further, having people tell you, oh, you still got that dream. How's it going? I'm still not there yet. Well, time you got a job, isn't it? Play it up. Make it disgusting. Make it drive you. And once you're there, move on to 3 years' time. if you carry on letting fear stopping you picking up that phone or doing what you need to do in order to succeed, 3 years' time, how disgusting or how disgusted will you be with your life then? And once you've done that, you do it for 5 years, you do it for 10 years, and you can see how this is going to play out. And this isn't even being like, it's not even exaggerating it. This is probably what you're on. And when I see drivers and I see how they're behaving and their skill set, and they've got a huge goal, I'm like, well, you've got no chance. You're already walking the line towards that thing you really don't want to have in life. That 10-year future that you've just seen. You've got everything in place to take you down that way. Honestly. Then once you've done it, you've swung around in the crap a little bit and you're feeling all like, oh my God, this is terrible. I can't believe that I've let this go on for so long. Just imagine where I could be now if I took action 10 years, 5 years, 3 years, 1 year ago, where I'd be now. God, I wish I could. Perfect. What's that called? That's called motivation. But on the flip side of that is if I did change, if I started to approach more people, if I started to take these actions that do take me closer to what I want to get, what will my life, or could, best case scenario, what will my life look like in 1 year's time? With a smile on your face, start to picture that. You've talked to now, you've got 365 days of absolute hard work, approaching people, taking on what they say, adjusting how you sell, changing your proposal, going again. At 365 days, can you imagine how many successes you'd have in the next year and what your life would look like then compared to the other way? Picture that. Take a moment, pause it, whatever you want to do. Just take time to picture what greatness your life could be in 365 days. Do it for 3 years. And then you do it for 5 and 10. In 10 years, if I continue to act, if I continue as I should, if I continue to do get the results I needed to, what would my life be like then? And once you've done this, you've got two paths. The destiny line, in the destiny mirror, I call it, in the warrior's mind. I keep plugging my books. I don't mean to do that, but it's just because I've written it and I really believe it. And you can see two different lives there. One where you've taken actions, it's gone to what you want, and one where you just stayed doing the same self-sacrificing things, sabotaging things, and you've gone down a different path. Which one are you going to choose? These are the options for you right now. That is called playing it out. That's the second thing you must do. And this is all about building the motivation. Again, fear breeds within the mind that lacks motivation. If you haven't got motivation, fear comes in. If you've got bursting motivation, it's hard for the fear to even grab hold of anything because the motivation, the motive for taking action is so strong that it overcomes fear. That's where I want you to get, because that's the key to it all. If you're bouncing with energy, you've got your eye focused on the goal, your mind's eye, your future mind's eye focused on the goal, and you're doing the kind of things, you're the champion now. Instead of waiting for 10 years, you are the champion now, and you're just waiting for that trophy. Because of the actions you're taking, that's much better. Fear will take a back seat. You'll always feel fear, by the way. It'll always be there. But the motivation is kicking you up the backside to actually make you take the action. That's where I want you to get. Tip number three, or hint number three, is what's the worst that can happen? Now, this is quite interesting. When you are stumbling, you know, you're hesitating to pick up the phone, or to contact someone, or to do anything within your career, you've got to think to yourself, okay, if I approach this person, what is actually the worst thing that could happen out of this situation? And usually it's they say no, or they don't think much of me. That's really it. It's not that scary. If you go to somebody with a proposal, or you know, you're trying to sell them something, and they say no, what do you think you should do from that moment? Logically, you take from them, why did they say no? Maybe they'll tell you, you know, you extract that information from them. You see if it's valid. Maybe you caught them on a bad day. Maybe they're just going through a situation in the company at the minute, or whatever, the sport at the minute, where they can't really take you on. It's just, you know, hands are tied. Maybe there's somebody above them that's not really into what you're offering. Fine. It's a no. I've noted down why you've said no. And now if I don't need to adjust what I'm offering, I'll try somebody else. But at least I know. It's always the worst case scenario. Somebody's going to say no, which comes down to rejection, which comes down to step number one, which I mentioned, that might be your biggest fear is rejection. But rejection is just and failure, as they say, is just a finger post to where what you need to do next. It's showing you they said no, so you adjust and you go again. And if that person says no and you try it a few times and lots of people saying no, you're kind of taking the information, you adjust and you go again. That is literally like the fly that's buzzing in the window that I mentioned before. It's trying to get out until they find a gap. If they don't find a gap, there's no window open, they die, but at least they die trying. I want you to be that fly that's banging their head against the window, because that's what it's all about. What's the worst that can happen? I'll tell you what the worst is. It's getting to the end of your life knowing that you didn't try. I mean, it pains me now, right? I'm 43 years old, 43 or 44, I can't remember. 44 years old. And it pains me now just thinking, oh, why didn't you do this when you were 20? You know, something else. And I'm thinking, oh, if you just worked a bit harder, if you did this, oh, why didn't you do that? The regrets I've got just in that little bit, I don't really hang on to them, but I could. Just imagine what it's like, because I can change it, right? I've got another 40 odd, 50, 60 years ahead of me. So I'm not bothered about that. I can change anything. I can start something now and it'll be a success before I leave this planet. But when you're at the end of your life, you're in your 90s, your hundreds or whenever, and you look back and it's pretty much too late to do anything about it. That deep regret of what you could have been, what you could have had, who you could have loved, how many people you could have touched emotionally or helped. These are the things that people take to their grave and it haunts them. You can see them sitting in their chair, their rocking chair, just looking into space. And a lot of it is, you know, on deathbeds, people say, I wish I'd loved more. Not I wish I'd just earned more money or worked a bit harder and did this. It's not, I wish I'd give myself more. If I was me going through life with literally my heart on my sleeve, I wish I'd just gone for things more. And I don't want you doing the same. So really, when it comes to step number three of what's the worst can happen, it's a no. I want you to collect the no's. You might have heard me say this as well. When I was on the typewriter, I was sending out all these proposals. I was trying to get anybody to sponsor me. Okay, I don't think I was doing it completely correct, but at least I was smashing that keyboard, sending things out constantly. And I used to collect, I had a big stack of them, which I don't know where they are now. I think my mom's got them probably. A big stack of refusal letters, because you didn't get emails back then. You got letters back because you sent a letter, you got a letter back. And I got so many from Virgin, so many from all these big companies. But I was, every time I got one, I was expecting a no pretty much when I was opening. I was like, it's probably not going to be a yes because I got so many no's and hardly any yeses, by the way, at that point. But when I got one, I celebrated. Like, yes, I've got another one. It's another person that knows my name. And at least I know I got through to the right person. So if I've got something of real value, I know who to contact. So every no leads to something. It either leads to you adjusting what how you're asking for it or what you're offering, so you go again in a better way, so it enhances your offer. Or you take from it, like I did, and now I know who to contact. Or it's just, I got them at the wrong time. Maybe they haven't got the budget. Maybe it doesn't fit their customers. You know, they don't want to be on the side of a race car. That's fine. Tick them off the list. Let's try another person. There's no point trying to turn someone who's saying no. Once they've given you a no, at least you know where they stand. If you can learn from it, great. Take anything else from it, great. But at least you know where they can, where you stand. So it's perfect. Collect the no's. The fourth thing to remember is that it's not a performance. If you're going into a boardroom and you're thinking about, or you're public speaking, you're thinking, I've got to perform. I've got to be perfect. I'm going to be judged. How do you think you feel when you're thinking these things? It's all about that judgment, not being enough. And not being enough is one of the biggest fears of human beings, by the way, naturally. Not feeling loved and not being enough is big. That's huge. So if you're not feeling significant, it's a big need, an internal need that humans have. So if you're going in there saying, I've got to perform in front of this boardroom or these people that are watching, it's going to be very, it's going to put a lot of pressure on you. And all, you're going to be outside of your natural flow because you'll be worrying about what they're thinking all the time. Am I doing well? And that gets in the way of performance. For you to perform in a race car, for you to perform on a stage or anything, you've got to be able to be free. And being free is getting a little bit more methodical on what you're there for, like providing value, like delivering a sales pitch on something you really deeply believe in, which is another important thing. If you're going to sell something, you got to believe in the product or whatever you're offering, the service, the sponsorship. But it's not a performance. It's I'm there. Like, it's, let's give sponsorship or selling a product to, as an example, if you go to somebody, a boardroom or a company, I'm there to see if this product, this service, the sponsorship deal fits with this company. I'm nearly as curious as they are. I'm going to go into that company and I'm only there to make sure that I can help them grow. I'm there to make sure that they can meet their goals, their business goals, through the sport that I love so much, which is racing or whatever it is. If you go there with that fascination, hi guys, I've got all this, I'm in a sport, I've got access within a sport, I'm inside, I'm competing, and this sport happens to offer all these commercial opportunities and benefits to companies, and I'm just here to see if some of these benefits and the features can actually help you get more customers, can actually put your name in front of people that don't know your name just yet. I'm here to see if that's possible. How is that as an opener? If somebody said that to me and they came to my company and said that, I'd be like, take a seat, because I'm just as curious as you are. It takes the pressure off you. You're there to see if it's a good fit. You're there to extract their goals, what they want in their business. And then you look at what you can offer through motorsport or what motorsport in as a whole offers companies, and you see if it's a good fit. And if it is a good fit and they see it, and you put a price tag on it that's kind of applicable to what you're offering, they might just say yes. If you focus that on that way, it's not a performance. You're going there with curiosity. You're going there with a list of benefits and features, which you can price up. You can say how many people you can reach. You can say whether they're applicable to the company that you're meeting. But you're just going, right, I can offer this. What is your company after? Because you don't know yet, right, until you speak to them. So you get their goals. You put them together, you see if it's a good match, and if it is, there could be a great deal. You are there fascinated. You are there curious to see if this sport that you love so much can help this company. And that's all. And if it's a no, if it's not a very good fit, it's a nice handshake, it's a new contact, and on you go to the next one. There's no need for you to think, I've got to perform, I've got to look completely right, I've got to, my words have got to be perfect. I'm going to be judged by these people, because if you go down that road, you're going to hesitate. If you go down that road, you won't pick up the phone because it's too much pressure to be perfect. And there is no perfect. You see some of these salespeople and they look terrible, but they're absolutely, you know, they don't look great. They don't even talk that well, but what they offer is really good. Their product is really good. And they get through the door and they get these sales. And you often think, how the hell did you do that? And that's what I want you to take on. Go into companies, go into opportunities, thinking, what does this person want? What is it I can offer? And if it matches, that's great. If not, I'll take it on and I'll move on. There's no more to it. It's not a performance. And number five, do it over and over again. So everything I've spoken about, it's about facing your fear, you know, well, facing the real reason, which is obviously fear. Play it out to get motivation. You're going to have to do this over and over again, by the way, all the time. As soon as you start to feel fearful, it's like, right, bring yourself back to motivation. Why am I doing this? If I carry on procrastinating, if I carry on holding myself back, because you'll have those moments, you'll go through weeks, days, weeks, months, maybe, where you're constantly holding yourself back and you haven't taken any action. That's when you need to kick yourself up the backside. Bring back the motivation. see which life path you're going on. Then you say, okay, what's the worst that can happen here? Then you obviously remind yourself of going in there, you're methodical, not emotional, you're methodical on what needs to be offered. What are they, what do they want and what can I offer? And you approach and you do it over and over again. This is how salespeople get over fear. I mean, I had it, honestly. I was terrible at school. I couldn't even read in front of the class. But then all of a sudden, I flipped when I was like 17, 18, maybe 19. I started to become confident because I started to focus on racing, something I was passionate about, something that I didn't know anybody in my, you know, area where I lived was doing. This was just my dream, my way to be significant, I suppose, to stand out, to count, to chase something. And all of a sudden, the fear started to get left behind. And speaking in front of people then wasn't a problem. It was to start with. I hated it. I couldn't even do 10 people in a room. Honestly, I was crapping myself. But then as like, what am I there to do? What's the reason? What's the motive? When that started to grow, fear came down. So that's a big one, I think. The two big takeaways are, remember why it is that you're, you know, really note down what it is. The reason is why you're not taking action. Usually it's going to be some kind of fear of not being enough. Understand how that'll play out. Build up the motivation. And honestly, just them things. You'll start to get the products. You'll start to get what people want and you'll take it out there onto the street and you'll start to tick them off. You get a no, you're like, yes, high five. We've got a no. What did we learn from it? How can we change and move on? And you'll get a yes eventually. And one yes, if you give that yes a great time, a company says, yes, I'm going to sponsor you, give them a great time. Then they then tell their suppliers, their friends, and it builds from there. But none of this is going to happen if you don't pick up the phone in the first place and take control of your emotions, your mind. Get into a state where you're picking up the phone with no fear of loss, no fear of rejection. Collect the no's, as many no's as you can, and you'll figure it out along the way, I promise you. I hope this has been, it's a bit random because I didn't really plan this to even talk about this today, but I hope that you can take just something from this that will urge you to put something together like a proposal, that urge you just to talk to somebody, to take one little action that will take you one step closer today to what you want. And then tomorrow, do it again and again the next day. And you'll get somewhere. It's a journey of steps, right? You take a step each day. Some steps will be back, some sideways, but some will be forwards. And as you get better, more will be forwards than go back or side, I promise. I hope this helps. See you next time.